Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tummy Whisperer podcast. I am here live with you. I'm Renee Barish, your Tummy Whisperer for the day. And I'm here with the lovely Janine. And today we are going to talk about something very near and dear to my heart. We're going to be talking about the gallbladder's function, how it works, what it does, what can be happening to you if your gallbladder is not functioning perfectly or wonderfully, why stones form, why sludge may form, why you may be feeling tired, why you may not be sleeping well, why you may be having cravings for fatty foods and salty foods. And I think we can start with that. What do you think, Janine?
This is a fascinating topic to me. Yes, I'm on board.
So it's interesting, too, because when we look at the gallbladder and what it does, let's just talk about what everyone knows. The gallbladder is located on your right side. It's right under the stand up here. Right under the rib cage there. So here's your rib cage. And then it's right under here on the right-hand side. Now, a lot of people may feel a little tenderness in that region, in that area. And it could be one of a million things. But it also could be that the gallbladder is having a little bit of contraction around poor digestion of fats and proteins. So again, back to my training, we're looking at muscle contraction related to what's not being broken down properly, and how the body is expressing some kind of symptom or some kind of tightness or some kind of stress, right?
So what happens with that? Like, how do you know that you're having gallbladder issues?
So there are a lot of symptoms related to gallbladder issues. The first thing, it's really easy to look at dry skin. Dry skin is a number one thing to look at. And it's not just wintertime when it's colder out. If your skin is dry on your legs and dry on your neck, dry skin, craving for very cold liquids is one. So if you guys are ice chewers out there, who is ever chewing ice, you're probably thinking, how does she know this? That's also a sign to a poor gallbladder function. Mm-hmm. Another thing that can be related to poor gallbladder function is a craving for fatty foods. You crave what you don't digest. So back to that previous episode, we talked about the air traffic control center. Hypothalamus kicking off cravings from your tongue and your brain to your tongue. When you crave fats, your body needs them because you're not digesting them. So the brain's sending that message to the tongue, hey, go get some fats. Temperature dysregulation, hormonal imbalance, and also low stomach acid is another reason why the gallbladder doesn't function properly. So to tie in tandemly with stomach acid, which I'll go back to in a minute, I got interrupted with myself, which I do all the time. Women have their gallbladder removed more than men. And I want to tell you guys why. The first reason is women don't breathe properly. We all breathe up here. We're all gold. We're all taking care of everybody but ourselves, right? So we don't take time to take a breath in, allow good expansion from the rib cage to allow good bile flow from the gallbladder to help degrease and break down those fats. So when we're stuck in a pattern of chest breathing and not opening up that rib cage, that's the first place to look. You want to start having good bile function, good gallbladder function, start doing a little bit of deep breathing. Even if you just do it for 1 minute after a meal every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, open up that rib cage and even allow a little bit of movement in the arms to put some expansion into that rib cage. But men, typically, they do get their gallbladders out, but not as often as women. So I just wanted to say that, ladies, get breathing and get a little bit of movement in if you can. And then the hydrochloric acid production is another thing that actually works with helping the gallbladder function properly. So if we don't make enough hydrochloric acid, which we start to lose the ability to make enough HCl from age 45 on up, that's how we can start to have a lower functioning gallbladder. Now, there's people out there that are listening saying, I put in hydrochloric acid supplements before and it burned me and I had a real hard issue with that, or I felt a lot better doing it. So it's one or the other. So somebody who already has a very compromised digestive lining, your lining starts from the back of your throat and lines all the way down in your esophageal tube and your stomach, small intestine, large intestine, out your backside. If there's any kind of either damage or it's compromised on any level and it's sensitive and it's too thin, hydrochloric acid is going to overstimulate that and cause a little bit of a burn. So you have to be careful with that. And you have to have the right diet, a good anti-inflammatory diet in the body, so it's not completely still hurting the mucosal lining. And you have to also have enough stomach acid to be able to handle it. So people who have a compromised mucosal lining, where are they compromised? How thin is their lining? Are there infections? Are there bacteria? Are there inflammatory foods? Do they have all of the above causing a little bit of a thinning of the lining, which the cells do turn over, but if you keep bombarding it, it's not going to have the chance to do that. So again, for some people, adding some hydrochloric acid is a game changer. You definitely want to add it with pepsin, pepsinogen in it. I like using Dr. Loomis's formulas that have the digestive enzymes in there, because just putting in hydrochloric acid without digestive enzymes is not enough. So when the hydrochloric acid is stimulated, and it's, if somebody has enough, that's what liberates the enzymes. So if you don't have enough HCL, you're definitely not going to have enough digestive enzymes. So a lot of times it's good to take them together.
Can you increase your digestive enzymes?
You mean naturally? Yeah, you can. So there's three different kinds of enzymes. There's digestive enzymes found in your digestive tract. There's food enzymes found in raw food. And there's your metabolic enzymes that run all your processes in the body. So how do we increase our digestive enzymes? We have to eat food that have enzymes in there. So that's everything raw, which I don't recommend. I don't recommend a raw diet, especially like eating raw chicken, because that would be gross. So I recommend cooking your proteins and even steaming your vegetables and softening the fiber. Some people get horrible belly aches from raw vegetables and fruit. But the way to really make enough stomach acid and to liberate those enzymes is by having enough chloride, which is your salt, enough hydration, which is your water, and enough of the right chemistry on board to stimulate hydrochloric acid. So there's vitamins and minerals in the body that form this liquid that makes the hydrochloric acid. So if we have deficiencies, then we're looking at deficiencies elsewhere. So the whole trick is getting in the good stuff and not overdoing the good stuff, but getting in enough of the good stuff so the body can handle what's going in. So quick examples, I had a client this morning tell me that she counts her macros and she's worried about getting enough protein. And I said, don't worry about getting enough protein. Don't worry about eating enough protein. You have to worry about digesting what your body can handle. People are very much of the mindset that this 25 grams of protein, and they think that they're actually getting 25 grams of protein when they eat a shake that's 25 grams of protein. But the reality is they're probably literally only getting maybe 6 to 10, maybe at best, with proper protein digestion. Eating it is not the same as digesting it. Remember, proper digestion requires it to be an anti-inflammatory product for your body, whatever that is, different from person to person. And the body having enough of the chemistry on board in order to liberate those enzymes, to digest it, carry it into the cell wall to use, and then convert it to whatever it needs to convert it to and get rid of the waste on the cellular level. Sounds easy.
That's so interesting, because that you're absolutely right. There's such a craze with getting my macros in. I need to get my macros in. And yeah, people have all these apps that are calculating this, and they're trying to get a certain amount of protein and fats, and it's more of a science than anything.
And it's not a bad way to go. The key they're missing is the key. What's the key? Digestion. Digestion is the key to everything health, in my professional opinion. You've got to digest what's going in. If you don't break it down, there's no way the body's going to have good absorption and good detoxification. It just can't happen. And you can put in all the good stuff, blessed by monks. It could be the most perfect food ever. But if your body doesn't have the ability to break it down, you're still at square one. And then you're still counting carbs, macros, proteins, grams, counting all that stuff, which...
That is so true. That is insanely... I always learn so much from you, Renee. And then what makes the gallbladder, what's the pain? What kind of pain do people get before they're like, I need to go to the ER and get this, I need to get well,
people
surgery?
People who are having a gallbladder attack know they're doubled over in pain. And it can be on the right side. It could be their whole abdomen. I've heard things like sharp stabbing, pain in the GI tract, a lot of diarrhea could be for even before the gallbladder attack. Pain in the shoulders. So this is called the universal stress point. It's your tight traps, right? So everybody who's watching or listening, take a squeeze up in your shoulder blades, or your friend would come up behind you, give you a massage. See if it's tight there. I'm pretty tight here. But this is an area of if it's contracted or taut or tight, that could also be a fatty acid deficiency. It could be a fat deficiency. So where the body doesn't have enough adequate fat on board and it's causing a muscle contraction. And fat is hard to digest for a lot of people. Again, adequate hydrofluoric acid, enough lipase on board, which is your fat digesting enzyme. There's a lot that goes into proper fat digestion for sure, and increasing the flow of bile. So for somebody who has some of those cravings for fatty foods, sugary foods, for sure, carbohydrate cravings and severe carbohydrate cravings can come from poor fat digestion, not fat cravings. Fat cravings too, but more carbs. If somebody's not digesting their carbs very well, they're going to crave fat, because fat also is fuel, right?
That's
sugar
right.
And carbs are your quick fuel, but fat is a longer-term fuel, and the body's going to crave it. And if the body can't digest it, it's going to make the bile sludgy, and it's going to thicken it, and then you're going to have more cravings. You're going to have other issues, anywhere from the dry skin that I mentioned to hormonal issues, to sleep issues, to all kinds of stuff related to skin issues. We talked about in one episode, rashes, eczema, hives, psoriasis, gallbladder, largely responsible for that as well. So the bile is made in the liver and the gallbladder is the regulator. And when the gallbladder can't regulate that bile and the liver is overwhelmed, then we can for sure start to get our skin issues, which we talked about, I believe, the episode before last.
That's fascinating. I've always heard stories of different diets actually exacerbating gallbladder issues. Like I heard, for example, like there was and there's some validity to this because I know someone, but there was like a whole class action lawsuit in the 80s from Nutrisystem because all these people were eating the food and there was some kind of issue with kept losing their gallbladders. So I don't know what was in the food or what.
Yeah.
Preservatives, or I don't know. Exactly.
I remember Nutrisystem. God, that was a while back. I'd have to look that up, and I may, just for fun, and I can throw it in the comments. But if Nutrisystem, it was prepackaged food, right? Might have been their prepackaged stuff. But depending what's in it, if it's all dead food and doesn't have any enzymes in it. So what's in food? Yeah. Protein, carbohydrate, fat, vitamin, mineral, enzymes. Enzymes being your most heat sensitive nutrient found in food. When food gets processed and heated and cooked, your enzymes get destroyed. So in Nutrisystem, my assumption is that it's dead food, zero enzymes. So when you're eating a lot of refined stuff, you're placing an incredible burden on the body, an incredible demand on the body when the body may already be running at a deficit. So possibly why people are losing their gallbladders, maybe there's a lot of fat in there, a lot of protein, too much that the body couldn't handle. And then it wasn't bioavailable or predigested or available for the body to actually use it. And then depending on the person eating it, if they were already operating in a little bit of a deficit, then they're putting in this dead food and asking their body to perform. Body's, whoa, no, sorry, no mas, can't do it.
That's a little scary in that you're eating. I'm going back to the whole prepackaged food thing.
Right.
That there's no enzymes. It's dead food. It literally is dead food. There's nothing nutritious in it. It's just calories at that point.
Calories, maybe a little bit of fiber and some chemistry. They're putting synthetics in there. Remember in cereal boxes added riboflavin, vitamin B, because they strip all the vitamins to process the cereal. They have to put something back in. Otherwise, you're just eating chemical Molotov cocktail at that point. It is definitely, that's why they strip them. That's why they do put this up, the vitamins, the synthetic vitamins back in.
They put synthetic vitamins in there?
Sure, it's cheaper. I'm not going to put whole foods back in the cereal. You're putting synthetics in.
That's funny. That's sad. That's American culture at its finest. Thanks, FDA.
I can't tell you how many clients I've had moved here from Europe and get sick within 2 weeks to 2 months to 2 years because our food is not as good as it is elsewhere. And I think I mentioned that a few hundred times on maybe this podcast. We just don't care for our food here the way other countries do. And it's sad. All about the money.
So eating a balanced, if you're trying to eat a balanced diet, should someone, especially if we're talking about the gallbladder specifically, you want to, and you mentioned steamed food. So you don't want to cook them to the point where there's, it's dead food, right? There's
right.
A, is there a certain temperature that you cook vegetables at that?
I like it lightly steamed with a little bit of crunch to it. Some people don't like that texture. So you just don't want to boil it to death. But the Chinese really have it steamed, cooked, lightly cooked, not overcooked, not overprocessed. In Chinese medicine, it's really about balance. So some people do better with a colder diet, with cold, wet vegetables. Some people do better with more of a steamed. And even if you are steaming your vegetables, you can also put them in the refrigerator. So what I like to do many times is I cook for the dog and I'll make asparagus and broccoli and all kinds of stuff and carrots, and I'll make a bunch of them. I'll put them in the refrigerator and then I can use them for salad toppers or snacks or whatever I like. And that way it's, you've cooked it already. So it counts as cooked. It's soft, fiber softened. And then you have something that may be a little bit easier to digest. And I know I sound like I'm contraindicating myself or countering myself by saying all enzymes are found in raw food. What happens when you cook it? Yes, you do destroy the enzymes, but you soften the fiber when it comes to vegetables. And you can also change the chemistry of it a little bit for people who have digestive issues where you're really taking out an element that can make it a little bit easier to digest and break down. But that's why also adding in the enzymes at mealtime is also critical for sure.
Can you buy digestive enzymes and sprinkle it on your food?
You can. And I don't really recommend that because there's so many kinds out there. And as I mentioned earlier, somebody has a very irritated lining. If they take an enzyme that has some protease in it, it may not bother them, but it may bother them. It may really bother them. And they're like, yep, I can't take enzymes. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've clients have come to me like, take an enzyme to four and they bother me. They hurt my stomach. So my teacher, Dr. Loomis at Enzyme Formulations, makes all the supplements, all the enzymes that I use, primarily enzymes. When I do use them, I use his formulas because not only are they quality control tested for E. coli, salmonella, heavy metals, viruses, bacteria, they're super clean, but they're formulated for you, for what's going on with you. Not just, hey, I've got this symptom, let's take this for that. So you have to know what's going on with somebody in their digestion before you start adding supplements in. And I would recommend that for anybody. Don't start taking supplements willy-nilly. You could hurt yourself. It's dangerous. If you don't have, I would say for anybody's listening, if you don't have a severe acid reflux, you're probably okay to take a general broad spectrum digestive enzyme and see how it does. And if it's not doing enough for you, it's just not strong enough for you. And then you need something more specific.
That's a great point. And also, when someone's gallbladder is removed, what happens to the body?
So while the organ is out, the liver is still making bile, but it really has nowhere to be regulated. So it forms its own little pouch. It forms like a little clutch purse and it drips into this little pouch. And then this little pouch becomes the holder in the tank, but there's no way for regulation. So the bile's there, but without it being regulated, a lot of bowel issues. People that have had their doctor will tell them, we need to take your gallbladder out. Either there's stones or sludge or whatever. Gallbladder comes out and you should be feeling better. And some people do feel way better temporarily. Because remember, the reason that gallbladder came out to begin with is because they weren't digesting their food to begin with. Mm. So you years and years of undigested foods and fats and proteins, lack of hydrochloric acid, starting to form sludge and stones. All of a sudden, boom, there's too many stones. And too much sludge, and there's nothing else to do but remove the gallbladder. So taking out the gallbladder does not fix your digestive issues, guys. It's just a side effect of poor digestion, an after effect of poor digestion.
This is fascinating. And gallstones arises with all of that, the lack of the correct digestive acid enzymes.
An acid balance, correct.
Wow.
Definitely. Yeah, it's tricky. There's a lot to know. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach, which is why somebody who's taken a little bit of hydrochloric acid ended up getting a little feeling not great from it because it was burning your lining, where somebody else took a little bit of hydrochloric acid and it took away their massive belching. So if you're out there and you're belching a lot, you have a couple things going on, and one of them probably is a lack of hydrochloric acid. Again, don't start taking it without being supervised by either your doctor or somebody who knows how to work with the right hydrochloric acid balance for your stomach.
What if you're having it from the other end and you're passing gas?
Lower bowel gas could be also part of that as well. But for sure, upper GI is gallbladder related, but lower too. Lower for sure. Definitely. And that could also be carbohydrates and fats. It depends. I'm able to see a lot of that on the urine test that I've done. So that's all I would know for sure.
So interesting. Okay. That just blew my mind. You just blow my mind continually.
I saw the wheels turning and I love what I do because I love being able to help people connect the dots. It's so important for your health and for your longevity and for everything. You know, you don't want to have your health. I always say this. You don't want to have your health being a full-time job. We all have enough stress on our plate. We have to deal with our day-to-day every day. You don't want to have to do extra because your health is giving you your check engine light, right? We want to be able to at least thrive and feel good and have put in the good stuff, digest the good stuff, absorb the good stuff, get rid of the waste. And the good stuff could be also some cheats from time to time. It just really just depends. Like this morning, same client I was mentioning earlier, she was like, going on vacation, I'm going to be limited with my diet and what can I do? And, you know, they're going to be at the grocery store and get all the snacks that you would get at home and bring them with you. I did that.
True.
Mark and I went away. We were in Wisconsin over the weekend and I went to my friend's house and they are in a gluten-free home. So it made it a lot easier. But we came with bunches of stuff and we came back with bunches of stuff. I brought more than I needed to, but definitely as a foodie, don't want to do without something to munch on.
So true.
And if you're prepared, right, and you get enough stuff at the store, you go, you just grab it out of your closet, throw it in the car and go. It's really easy.
Such great tips, Renee. Like, I can't even say enough about how brilliant you are and how much I've learned from you.
Well,
and your audience is learning so much.
It is my joy to be able to give this information to those of you who are listening, those of you who are struggling, those of you who have questions. I invite you to reach out anytime. You can find me at thetummywhisperer.com, digestivehealthsolutions.com. You can email me at nhsolutions@sbcglobal.net. And of course, my cell phone right there, 847-207-2034. You can send me a text message. Happy to get your questions answered for you. I do offer a free 15-minute consultation for anybody who wants to tell me what's happening and see if I can help get them closer to the finish line, if not cross the finish line.
Love it.
So,
and
yes.
Follow Renee on Apple, iHeart, Spotify, wherever you enjoy your shows on in the podcast ecosystem, and leave her a 5-star rating. That goes a long way.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for joining me today. And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you.
Bye for now.